Eisel. Coin money. Emit bills of credit. Make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. Pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Peter Hammond from Frontline Ministry. And Peter is a missionary in South Africa. Really, his group, the organization he heads, sends missionaries all throughout Africa. And whenever Peter's here in the United States, we ask him to come on to keep us abreast of what's really going on. Now, for our listeners who regularly listen, you understand that Zimbabwe, it used to be Rhodesia, but the Marxist government, communist government in Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, was installed by the American government back in the 1980s. The Rhodesian people didn't want Mugabe. His election was fraudulent, but it was arranged by our State Department, and I think we could see what may lie ahead for other countries, perhaps even our own, when you realize our government created this catastrophe and is doing nothing to stop it. So let's first of all start out talking about Zimbabwe, because it's a beautiful example of American tax dollars at work. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Peter.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Always a joy to be on your program.
Well, let's go ahead and tell our listeners what's really going on in Zimbabwe. One of the great tragedies of modern times, and while, of course, our focus is on bringing democracy to Iraq and bringing democracy to Afghanistan and perhaps to the other countries in the Middle East, how effective was our effort to bring democracy to Rhodesia?
Well, it's destroyed Christian civilization and any kind of decent economy in Zimbabwe. When it was Rhodesia, 27 years ago, Rhodesia had such a strong economy, even though it had been sanctioned very unfairly by the United Nations, the Rhodesian dollar was stronger than the American dollar. Today, the inflation is something in a region of 21,000%, the highest inflation rate in the world. It means right now that one brick costs more than an entire mansion would have cost in 1980. I mean, how's that for progress? And people's pensions have been so destroyed that a pension today of about 6,000 Zimbabwe dollars won't even buy a loaf of bread, which 2 months ago was $30,000, which meant that their entire month's pension could buy a few slices of bread for the entire month. That's it. You can just see how people's pensions have been destroyed. We've had to be smuggling in food and medicines and insulin for diabetes and so on for the Zimbabwe pensioners, because they are absolutely the most suffering and destitute people on the planet right now. In Zimbabwe right now, you've got something in the region of 90% of the wildlife has been destroyed by the state-sponsored chaos, according to the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force. Unemployment is well over 85%. There's power failures for days on end, even in the capital city, Harare. The shops are empty, starvation is rampant. Something like 40% to maybe even a half of the total population have fled the country, voted with their feet by fleeing into neighboring countries. So this situation is not only destabilizing Zimbabwe, but it's putting an enormous burden on all the neighboring countries. The only way that residents in Zimbabwe survive right now is from relatives outside the country bringing food into them.
Well, of course, what most people don't understand is that Mugabe, the man that the United States State Department picked to become the leader of Zimbabwe, was actually trained in Red China as a communist. And now my understanding is that he has invited the Chinese communists, who incidentally we are funding with massive amounts of foreign aid and corporate aid from United States companies, that actually the Chinese communists are there in Zimbabwe and are really more or less taking over control of the businesses and the structure of society.
Indeed, Dr. Stan, that's exactly what's happening. What you see in Zimbabwe right now is a new Chinese colonialism. The Red Chinese are moving in and taking over. They're taking over almost all of the businesses, many of the farms that were confiscated, stolen illegally from the productive white farmers in Zimbabwe, have now been handed over to the Chinese. And Zimbabwe, at this moment, is selling ivory, tons of ivory, vast quantities of ivory, from massacred herds of elephants in Zimbabwe. They're selling the ivory to Red China to pay for military hardware. While their people starve, they are buying tanks and jet fighters and heavy military weaponry from Red China, no doubt to keep their starving people subjugated, and they're using ivory for that. And as you may well know, that there's an international moratorium on ivory sales. There's not meant to be any ivory sales worldwide, but Zimbabwe's flaunting this. And I think these people who claim to be environmentalists, Greenpeace and others who claim to be concerned for the environment, why are they so silent about the slaughter of herds of elephants in Zimbabwe in breach of international agreements for this ivory poaching to buy military weapons?
Well, you know, of course, at one time, Rhodesia had the great herds of animals there and all these wildlife sanctuaries, and now they simply just slaughtered the animals for something to eat.
Yes, well, even slaughtering them to eat would be one thing, but what you're having is just rampant destruction for destruction's sake, and in many cases just ivory poaching and rhino horn, and it's absolutely disgraceful. And bear in mind that Zimbabwe not only had at one time, when it was Rhodesia, some of the greatest natural wildlife sanctuaries in the world with the biggest herds of elephants and the most magnificent game reserves, which were a tourist attraction, which is now destroyed. And so those many thousands of Zimbabweans whose livelihood was dependent on tourism have, of course, lost all income and lost their jobs because no tourists coming to see a whole boneyard of skeletons. The game reserves have been devastated. 90% of the wildlife's been destroyed in the last 7 years, according to the Zimbabwe Conservation Task Force. But in addition to that, bear in mind, with the agriculture destroyed, they took the 5,500 white farms, confiscated all those farms, in many cases brutalizing, beating up, looting, and even murdering the white farmers concerned. And when the people were starving because the farms had been destroyed, then they let them loose on the wildlife sanctuaries. But in many cases, it was just setting fire to huge areas of game reserves, burning out tens of thousands of hectares of game reserves and forest, and then just slaughtering as many of the animals as they could, with no regard to whether they could eat them or not, using helicopter gunships to shoot up herds of elephants. So what's going on in Zimbabwe really is an international scandal of the highest order, and I wonder why CNN and Time Magazine and all these other news, mainline news sources, are not informing people on what's going on in Zimbabwe.
Well, that's a very good question, or why our government, which promised the Rhodesian people we would always stand behind them and protect them, is doing nothing. We'll be back in just a moment with Peter Hammond here.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m. followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can get more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so come join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web,
www.voiceamanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceamanywaters.org. Ann Johnson of Brightside Natural Health brings you the McCool Blast. Mark and Janine McCool will bring the message of Tunguska Blast and the dream of owning your own business to thousands of IBO's new recruits and new customers from all walks of life. Monday, October the 8th at 7 p.m. at D'Agostino's Restaurant, 141 5th Street in Frederick, Colorado. This is a ticketed event. IBO's $10 and guests admitted free. Please contact Ann Johnson for pre-registration and tickets at 303-833-2784 or herbalann@yahoo.com. Attendance prizes will be awarded.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. What happened was in Rhodesia, they had no apartheid. They had no racial discrimination. I mean, everybody had the right to vote if they had a certain amount of education. Certainly the level of education of the blacks and even the economics of the blacks was certainly unparalleled throughout most of the rest of Africa. But the American State Department wanted to bring a Marxist revolutionary to power. And so the people held free elections. They elected a Bishop Mizraim with majority vote. We didn't like that. We insisted on another election where Mugabe and his thugs should come in and antagonize people. And so didn't Henry Kissinger go on the radio there in Rhodesia and promised the Rhodesian people that America would stand behind them and that such things as we're seeing today would never happen?
And that's true, Dr. Stan. I remember I was in Rhodesia at the time, and front page newspapers, main item on the radio, and we saw it on TV as well. Henry Kissinger, as the U.S. Secretary of State at that time, promised the Rhodesian people, looking straight into the camera, and said that if the Rhodesian people would vote for this peace package that Jimmy Carter's, Henry Ford government was offering, that if Rhodesia would agree to one man, one vote, and complete universal franchise without any educational qualifications, without any property requirements, just anyone can vote and accept this peace plan, hand over power to the British governor, and then the British governor would take the country through these elections. And basically the Rhodesian government had to step down and hand over to this international peacekeeping force to come in, that they would guarantee the farms, that guarantee the property, the rule of law, constitutional property, and if any Rhodesian lost anything or wanted to leave the country, they would set them up and recompense them in every way. But nothing need to be worried, because the American people would guarantee the safety and security of lives, property, and the rule of law in Rhodesia. And it was for that reason that the Rhodesians went for this peace plan, which ended up with the British handing over power to Mugabe, who was a Marxist terrorist, whose terrorists had, even during the electioneering, had slaughtered thousands upon thousands of people, most brutal intimidation, and there was no doubt there was no free and fair election at all about it. And even the British and American observers admitted that it had been massive intimidation, terrorism, and that Mugabe should have been disqualified from the election under every part of the Lancaster House Agreement. But they still handed over to him. And 27 years later, Mugabe is still bludgeoning and brutalizing the population. And it seems that those who were so eager to overthrow the very efficient and well-run government that we had in Rhodesia and hand it over to this Marxist terrorist seem to have turned their back on our country. And the country is devastated. The best agricultural economy in Africa destroyed. And now the country is no longer exporting food. Now they are in absolute starvation mode. This is an international catastrophe, but it seems to be ignored by the main media, and it's certainly ignored by the governments who are responsible for this.
And, of course, Henry Kissinger is the primary advisor to the President of the United States today, according to Bob Woodward in his recent book, Under Siege. So, you know, if they're planning, the same man is planning the same things, directing the same forces. We're bringing peace and prosperity to Iraq, and peace and prosperity to Afghanistan, and perhaps soon peace and prosperity to Iran, and then than America, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Well, tell us what's going on in South Africa, where I know you live, and that's where your ministry is based.
Yes, well, you know, Dr. Stan, remember that South Africa and Rhodesia were allies of the United States in the First World War, the Second World War, and the Korean War. And so we fought shoulder to shoulder with our American allies before against a common enemy. And it seems terrible that when we were attacked by Marxist terrorists, that our previous friends and allies in the United States and the United Kingdom in particular turned their back on us and imposed sanctions on their once allies in support of groups that are totally anti-American and anti-freedom. And today we have a Marxist revolutionary group running our country, which was once the powerhouse of Africa. South Africa, of course, was one of the most strategic countries in Africa in terms of the Cape Sea Route and the strategic minerals. Now these are in cartel with the Soviets, the Russians. Putin has come down and has signed special trade and military agreements with the South African government. And so now this means strategic minerals such as chrome and all these other key strategic minerals that you need for everything from refrigerators to air conditioners to fighter aircraft, and just about everything that you use in modern military weaponry, all those strategic weapons now are controlled by a Russian, South African, Zimbabwean cartel, which should bring great concern to the Americans, because it means if they wanted to, they could cut you off from all the strategic minerals you need. South Africa's become lawless in many ways. We've had 2,000 white farmers tortured and brutalized to death since Mandela came to power in 1994, and the government's response to the terroristic murders of white farmers has been to dismantle the commando structure, which was the main defense of the farmers, and then to go on a gun grab where they are trying to disarm all South Africans, and particularly farmers. They've actually gone around and round up weapons from the farmers. So here we have a government whose response to the worst crime rate, and we have 25,000 people being murdered every year in our country in the most brutal ways. Many, many more people are murdered every year in South Africa than died in 40-something years of war during the apartheid years. So so much for peace and freedom coming to the country. We've now got terroristic destruction. The number of white farmers has gone from 70,000 in 1994 when Mandela came to power to 30,000 today. And just to put it in perspective, maybe you think, well, that doesn't sound a lot of people. But those 70,000 white farmers in South Africa fed 100 million people in Africa, including most of the people all the way up to the Congo. The whole of Southern Africa was fed by 70,000 white commercial farmers. Today we're down to 30,000. And they're producing enough food for about 45 million people, which is basically the South African population. So there's other countries that are now suffering because we can't provide enough food because so many of the farmers have been murdered or have had their farms invaded and taken over. People know about the farm invasions in Zimbabwe to some extent, but very few seem aware of the fact that similar things are being done in South Africa today.
Well, I think it's really such a tragedy, and certainly the what is the unemployment rate? Now, when I was there and lived in South Africa, everybody had a job. I mean, every black had a job, or almost every black had a job. What's the unemployment now that the United States has brought democracy to South Africa?
Oh, it's terrible. It's over 40% of the population are unemployed, and this just fuels the petty crime in particular. And we've got huge squatter camps, shanty towns, on the outskirts of every city. And the thing is, there's vastly more unemployment, vastly more poverty, vastly more squatter camps in South Africa today than there was under apartheid back in the 80s. In fact, it's been pointed out by people who used to be opponents of the National Party government, the apartheid government, that Hendrik Verwoerd, the architect of apartheid, built more houses for black people and better houses than the ANC government has done in the last 14 years. So here you've got more homelessness, more unemployment, more poverty amongst the black people today than they've ever had before. And this is after 14 years of a paradise that they're meant to have had imposed on them by the U.S. State Department and the UN.
Well, of course, when I was there, why apartheid was disappearing. I mean, they were doing everything they could but to gradually do away with it, and they would have done away with it, but of course the American State Department had no intention of solving the problem. They wanted the problem so they could impose their Marxist rule. When Nelson Mandela was inaugurated, there was Hillary Clinton there, and there, of course, was Fidel Castro, and the communist leaders from the whole world were there to sacrifice the takeover of South Africa with the help of the American State Department. That's what the average American cannot understand. And
yes,
until we begin to understand that, nothing is going to change.
Well, yes, you know, it's absolutely outrageous that recently the British put up a statue to Nelson Mandela in Parliament Square outside the Houses of Commons in England. And that's in the same place where they've got a statue of Winston Churchill. And while Britain is fighting terrorism, why are they putting up a statue to a terrorist? Because that's actually what Nelson Mandela was. And Nelson Mandela, when he was president of South Africa, welcomed and embraced Yasser Arafat and Gaddafi and Fidel Castro, all enemies of the United States. And, of course, he fully supported Saddam Hussein enthusiastically. And Robert Mugabe, who is brutalizing the people in Zimbabwe in such a destructive way. Do you know that recently Robert Mugabe, who's responsible for the destruction of Zimbabwe, he was a guest coming to New York for the United Nations. So here you are able to have in America a country that, and I've been to the Second World War monument on the Mall in Washington, where it speaks about Americans went not to conquer, but to liberate and to free and to establish democracy, and spoke about all that the American troops nobly aimed to fight for in the Second World War, without mentioning that in many cases Soviet Marxist regimes were imposed on the people in Eastern Europe because Patton was stopped from liberating Czechoslovakia and turned off the tap so that he had no fuel to get to Berlin or Warsaw before the Soviets, and that much of Eastern Europe was betrayed by the Yalta Agreement. And so it is today. While one doesn't want to denigrate the courage and the integrity of the American soldiers who do an admirable job, but by politicians betraying their sacrifices and ensuring that Marxists benefit from the sacrifices and the tax dollars of American citizens, I think that's outrageous. And why is it that thugs like Mugabe are allowed to come to America and really desecrate your country by abusing your hospitality and your sacrifices? And the American people are good people. They wouldn't tolerate this if they knew.
No, well, that's why I do what I do, and I know that's why you do what you do. Well, tell us what's happening as far as your ministry is concerned, because there really are some dramatic changes for the better that have occurred. Certainly, Mozambique is one example of the influence of Christianity. And there at one time, they were a Marxist nation, turned over to the Marxist by the Portuguese. But what's happened in Mozambique?
Well, that's one of the great answers to prayer. I started a mission 25 years ago, smuggling Bibles into communist Mozambique, which was in the grip of a terrible war, and the Marxists were burning down churches by the thousands. There was such a lot of persecution of the church in Mozambique. It was one of the worst countries in the world at that time, and the least evangelized country in the Southern Hemisphere. Well, today, by God's grace, in answer to prayer and a lot of sacrifices by many dedicated Christians and missionaries, we can say that Mozambique is free for the gospel. Hundreds of churches have been handed back by the communist government churches. Communism has been renounced, socialism has been renounced, free enterprise, multi-party democracy, full religious freedom, freedom of the press, and we are able to go in and out of Mozambique now happily in a country that was once an absolute hellhole of concentration camps and Russian and Cuban troops. Today, it's a success story. When we started our work 25 years ago, only 4% of Mozambique were Protestant or evangelical Christians. Today, it's 34% are Protestant or evangelical Christians. It's just phenomenal, the church growth in Mozambique. So that is a success story, and it shows that even though there's international treachery, on the ground, evangelistic Christians can make a big difference in turning things around.
Well, what about in Angola now? Certainly for our listeners, Angola certainly had a strong anti-communist and Christian element there, and they were associated with a man, a freedom fighter named Jonas Savimbi, who was actually killed by a communist hit team. But, of course, the whole of Angola is is the communist movement there is financed by our great American corporation, Chevron Oil, sitting on the board of Chevron Oil prior to her becoming the National Security Advisor and then Secretary of State was Condoleezza Rice. And Chevron Oil, which finances communism in Angola, had a tanker named after Condoleezza Rice. Of course, that tanker no longer exists, oil tanker. They changed the name of it when Condoleezza became the National Security Advisor to the Bush administration. We'll be back in just a moment with Peter Hammond here at the American Freedom Network.
Car school in office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling. Or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Kath every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available. Ann Johnson of Brightside Natural Health brings you the McCool Blast. Mark and Janine McCool will bring the message of Tunguska Blast and the dream of owning your own business to thousands of IBO's new recruits and new customers from all walks of life. Monday, October the 8th at 7 p.m. at D'Agostino's Restaurant, 141 5th Street in Frederick, Colorado. This is a ticketed event. IBO's $10 and guests admitted free. Please contact Ann Johnson for pre-registration and tickets at 303-833-2784 or herbalann@yahoo.com. Attendance prizes will be awarded.
Frontline Ministry. And before we go on, Peter, would you like to get your web page out and your telephone number in case people would be interested in helping you? And I want to comment that my wife and I do support Peter. We think he's doing a wonderful job over there in Africa. We actually lived there and practiced medicine in South Africa for 3 years in the mid-1970s. So I could be over there with him now, but I don't think that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but we do at least support him, and we always look forward to having Peter bring us up to date on what's really going on in Africa. So, Peter, how can people get in touch with your ministry?
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Stan. Yes, Frontline Fellowships, an Indigenous African mission. We've been 25 years now helping to persecute church and work in the war zones. Our website is www.frontline.org.au. Z-A. So it's Frontline, one word, F-R-O-N-T-L-I-N-E, frontline.org.za. and it's info@frontlinefellowship.org.ca. We have an American office now, and it's a straightforward address, info@frontlinefellowship.net, and that's linked up with our website. So info@frontlinefellowship.net or info@frontline.org.za is our Cape Town address, and either of those would work for websites, frontlinefellowship.net or frontline.org.ca.
And you do have an office here in the United States.
Yes, we do.
What's
and
the telephone number?
There's an 800 number, 1-888-918-4100. So it's 1-888-918-4100. And just ask for the Frontline package or literature, and we'll send free copies of the Frontline Fellowship News, which has got lots of photographs on what's going on in Zimbabwe, a lesson how to destroy Christian civilization, and on the Congo, and these other battles that we're fighting in Africa.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the other areas, perhaps what's going on in Zambia, and certainly what's going on in the Congo, because I understand that there's tremendous, Christian resurgence there, and even in Nigeria. So why don't you just cover those countries that
I'm glad to be able to report that, you know, where sin increased, God's grace increased much more. And yes, there's a lot of international treachery and wickedness in high places, and some terrible governments in Africa that are looting the people. But the good news is that on the ground, the gospel is growing and accelerating, and there's tremendous spiritual momentum on the ground. We're seeing spiritual revivals such as in Zululand, where hundreds of thousands of Zulus have come to Christ in the most vibrant, dynamic way. In the Congo, I've run biblical worldview seminars for up to 1,000 people at a time in one place, including generals, the mayor, judges, presidential candidates. In the Congo, many people are just hungry for the gospel, and we've had our Biblical Principles for Africa book in French just absolutely sold out, and the people in on the streets are just so enthusiastic for gospel materials in French, which is the language in the Congo. In Nigeria as well. Now, remember, let me just say this about the Congo. The Congo has gone through a terrible ordeal. 4 million Congolese were murdered in the last 10 years in the horrible massacres there. So the rainforests of the Congo have been scenes of the most horrific slaughter, and I don't think the media in the United States has reported on 4 million massacred in the Congo. It seems they'll be interested in Darfur or Iraq or Bosnia, but completely ignoring where Christians are suffering, such as in Sudan and the Congo or Nigeria. But the church is growing very strong, and we are having a wide open door to do leadership training and biblical worldview seminars and Great Commission courses in these countries, even to top leadership. And in Nigeria, similarly, where you've had the Muslim Arab North fighting the Christian Black South, the Christians have seized the upper hand. The country of Nigeria has been, which is the sixth largest oil-producing country in the world, by the way, Nigeria has recently been able to overthrow the Muslim dictatorships. For 47 years, most of their independence, they've been under Muslim dictatorships, but now they have had the first semblance of attempts at multi-party democracy, and they have Christian leadership. And the Muslims are still persecuting Christians in the northern provinces where they've declared Sharia law. But in the southern provinces, the vast majority are in the hands of Christians, and in Nigeria we're seeing phenomenal church growth. Millions have come to Christ, including from Muslim backgrounds. So these are some of the areas we're working. There is wickedness in high places, but on the ground, I would say there's a mass movement to Christ across South and Central Africa in many places.
Well, certainly my understanding is that Zambia is an example of certainly a country now that is doing fairly well under Christian influence. What's going on in Zambia?
Well, indeed, I've been to Zambia many times since I was arrested. It was 20 years ago this month that I was, in fact, to this date, I was 20 years ago in prison in Zambia when it was a communist country. But last year I was welcomed as a VIP to the president, and we meet the Minister of Health, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and they Christians, and it's quite extraordinary because Zambia in 1991 went through a bloodless revolution where they overthrew the Marxist regime and they instituted a Christian country. Today, constitutionally, Zambia's constitution states plainly this is a Christian country. They have national days of repentance, they have national days of thanksgiving, and while the country is far from perfect, they still have a lot of ground to change the devastation of 27 years of socialist dictatorship. But in Zambia today, abortion is illegal. pornography is illegal. Homosexuality is a crime. And the schools begin their days with Bible study, with prayer, Bible reading, hymn singing, and in the name of Christ. So plainly there's a lot of great things going on in Zambia, and we have an open door on the radio, the TV, the military bases, the prisons, even up to government to proclaim the gospel of Christ. So Zambia is a success story. Here's a country that's gone from communism to Christ.
And that really is amazing. Of course, these are the things we never hear about here in the United States. Now, what about the Sudan? This is the two or three million Christians, a couple of million Christians, killed in the southern Sudan with the war with the north. Now, what's happened? Is that pretty much of a standoff now, or is there peace between the north and south?
There is peace at this moment. Since January 2005, a peace treaty ceasefire has been in place. But something ominous has just happened, and that is the 9th of July was the deadline for all northern troops, that's National Islamic Front government troops, were to be withdrawn from the south by the 9th of July. And that deadline has come and gone without the Muslim government, the dictatorship of al-Bashir, moving any of them. So they still have a massive military presence in the south, especially around the oil fields, obviously. And the southern Christians are now... I can't say they're surprised. They never expected the Muslim government to keep their promises. They, after all, the slave traders who've been bombing the south, bombing churches and schools. So they didn't exactly expect them to keep to the agreement, but this indicates that they're probably going to be preparing for war again. They agreed to the ceasefire because they were losing, but right now they're probably rearming for another go. So with the deadline for the troop withdrawal of the northern government from the south having been violated, We must watch the situation closely. It looks like it could be going back to war sometime next year or two.
And, of course, the Sudanese government is largely financed by China, specifically by a Chinese corporation named China Petrol. And, of course, yes. China Petrol raised the $5 billion they needed for drilling oil. Where did they raise the money? Why, in American markets, of course. Warren Buffett, one of the major purchasers of China Petrol, recently divested himself after making a large fortune on it. Many of your major corporations and universities are invested in China Petrol, financing the government of the Sudan, killing Christians in the south.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m. followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can get more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so come join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Peter Hammond. And Peter, of course, is keep getting his abreast of what's really going on in Africa. There's a lot of good things going on, as well as a lot of terrible, terrible things. What's going on in Southwest Africa? That's a, for most people who don't know, that's a great, a very, very large country. Used to be a German protectorate that then, of course, was certainly under the influence of Southwest Africa. And then, of course, when South Africa, pardon me, under influence of South Africa, when Southwest Africa went to the market, was taken over by the Marxists with the help of the American State Department, of course. Well, what's happened to Southwest Africa?
Well, Southwest Africa was really a magnificent country. It's huge. It's bigger than Texas. And mineral rich, most of the diamonds in the world were coming from Southwest Africa at one time, and uranium and so on. It's a mineral rich country, beautiful, magnificent game reserves and wildlife, especially at Etosha Pan. But they were then handed over to the Marxist revolutionary group SWAPO, and this was really betrayal. We were never beaten by enemies; we were betrayed by our friends, because SWAPO had lost every engagement. The South African army completely won the war there. It was one of the most successful counterterrorism campaigns in history, and yet, even though the country is completely safe and free of terrorism by 1989, they decided to hand over the country to these Marxist revolutionaries through the UN. It's another example of UN treachery. Absolutely terrible. However, the good news is that although the Marxists did gain control of the country, there's such a large amount of Christians in the country, they forced the government to back down on a lot of things. The government tried farm invasions that didn't fly and wasn't allowed by the huge Christian percentage of the population. They tried to legalize abortion several times over. They failed on every occasion. We were actually there working in Namibia, not only behind the scenes, but on radio and TV and in public areas, making a big, strong stand. And I must say that the Christians in Namibia have stood firm. So it's one of the more stable countries in Africa. And the German government has actually been heavily involved in seeing that they adhere to some basic requirements of freedom and both in the press and in government. So it's not too bad. We're still able to do quite a lot of work there. Certainly the country is more peaceful and stable than its neighbors on any side, including South Africa, Angola, and Zimbabwe, of course.
I remember it used to have wonderful, wonderful big game reserves there in the north. Mm. Well, then what about moving north? We started to talk about Angola. What's going on in Angola? Where, of course, Chevron Oil, our Chevron Oil company, American Corporation, funds the communist government there, and of course they funded Fidel Castro's troops, communist troops, when they were fighting Jonas Savimbi. So what's going on there?
Well, that's absolutely true, Dr. Stan. It's really incredible. I did a lot of work in Angola, and the churches there are going strong and very vibrant. And this despite having endured over 20 years of vicious persecution by the communists, where they were burning down churches, massacring congregations. Angola was one of the hottest places in the Cold War. There were tens of thousands of Russian, Cuban, East German troops in Angola during the 80s, and of course South African troops were there countering them, and there were massive pitched divisional mechanized battles, tank battles, huge graveyards of destroyed tanks from when the Cuban mechanized divisions of the presidential mechanized division was destroyed by the South African artillery and tanks there outside Cuita Carnaval. And so the country's still littered with the wreckage of war. They've got more landmines in Angola than people. Cultural contribution of the Russians, thank you. They put over 10 million landmines in the country, and there's still a problem of trying to lift those up. Fortunately, the Cuban troops have had to withdraw. They really were hammered and defeated there. But the betrayal and the murder of Jonas Savimbi, the freedom fighter who fought for decades for independence of Angola from the Cuban and Russian colonials, he's been sorely missed. There is peace in Angola at the moment. It's a very uneasy peace. There is multi-party democracy of a sort with a lot of corruption. There's a more of a free enterprise that's come back. And so a lot of what the freedom fighters fought for has been achieved. but not enough. The country's still pretty much in the hands of a clique of people who seem to get their funding primarily from Gulf Chevron's oil, which is exploiting the resource of the country. So Angola is far away from the horror it was back in the 80s and 90s, but I can't call it free yet, not at all.
All right, so things are really been much, much better. What about Christianity? Is Christianity catching hold? Is it growing there in Angola?
Oh, yes, definitely. And in fact, we take great delight in that because the first communist dictator of Angola, Agostinho Neto, boasted. He said, "I have destroyed the Bible. You will have to go to a museum to see what a Bible looks like. In 20 years, there won't be a Bible or a church on the face of Angola. I have destroyed the church. I've destroyed the Bible." Well, today, there's more churches and there's more Bibles in Angola than ever before. And we take satisfaction that our mission alone has proved that Marxist dictator a false prophet, because we've taken in more Bibles into the country than there were at the time. And so his bold claim that there wouldn't be a Bible in the face of Angola in 20 years, well, here we are 30 years later, and in fact, the Bible reigns supreme. It's the most popular book, the best-selling book, the most read book in Angola, and churches are multiplying despite the Marxists' best attempts to destroy the Christian church in Angola. They failed, and the Church of Jesus Christ is going forward strongly in Angola.
Well, this is really the only hope that I can see for Africa, or really for any place in the world, is for, you know, a strong and vibrant church, for Christianity to take over, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and certainly you see this in Zambia. I mean, really so prosperous in comparison with what it was when the communists were in control, and certainly true in Mozambique, and even certainly as with the increasing influence of Christianity in Nigeria, why it's bringing stability. And
In fact,
Peter, you've got about a minute to finish off here before we have to let you go.
Yes, Dr. Stan, I should say, when I met the president of Zambia last year, he said that they've just refinanced their money. They've strengthened their kwacha, their national currency, against the dollar for the first time ever. And he said, well, that's because of these white Zimbabwean farmers. The farmers that Mugabe kicked out, they've welcomed to Zambia over 200 of them, and they're now producing exports. So extraordinary how what Mugabe didn't want, Zambia's welcome.
Well, we're out of time, Peter. God bless. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Ann Johnson of Brightside Natural Health brings you the McCool Blast. Mark and Janine McCool will bring the message of Tunguska Blast and the dream of owning your own business to thousands of IBOs, new recruits, and new customers from all walks of life. Monday, October the 8th at 7 p.m. at D'Agostino's Restaurant, 141 5th Street in Frederick, Colorado. This is a ticketed event. IBOs, $10, and guests admitted free. Please contact Ann Johnson for pre-registration and tickets at 303-833-2784 or ErvalAnn@yahoo.com. Attendance prizes will be awarded.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m. followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can get more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so come join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
American Freedom Network, and certainly to understand what is going on in the world, you really need to get a video, a DVD we offer called of the world revolution. That's the world revolution. It includes my interview with the American ambassador to Cuba at the time. The United States State Department turned Cuba over to Fidel Castro, knowing full well he was a communist. And, of course, as we point out in our DVD, we've kept him in power ever since then. You're supposed to believe Fidel Castro is the enemy. But if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, you'll find that both of his daughters were good, very good friends of Fidel. And one daughter was in the book was written in the early part of 2000. Was going down regularly to meet with her good friend Fidel Castro, and Fidel was coming up to hold meetings with the leader of the capitalist world, David Rockefeller. So nothing as it appears to be. You have to understand that everything is manipulated to give you the perception that, oh, we have these enemies, that's why we have to give all the power to our government, and we have to have all sorts of informants in America and spies in America and surveillance of the American people, because if not, the wicked Fidel Castro will come and get us. Or maybe it's the wicked Osama bin Laden, who worked for so many years for the CIA during the Afghan War in the 1980s. You need to get the book, of course, we carry, called The Devil's Game. Who financed Al-Qaeda? Why, your tax dollars, along with those of our good friends in Saudi Arabia and in Pakistan. Who's funding the Taliban today? Well, a part of their funding comes from is Pakistani intelligence. It's funded by the Pakistani government, that's funded by your tax dollars. And the same thing, who's funding Al-Qaeda, in Iraq, where our boys are fighting and dying? Why, a lot of the money's coming from both Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. And, of course, you remember that there were almost 200,000 weapons, automatic rifles and pistols, that disappeared from the American storehouse over there. I'm sure a lot of that ended up in the hands of the Sunnis, who are killing American boys today. We are always creating the best enemies money could buy. Let me suggest, to really understand how this pattern's enacted over and over again, my video on the World Revolution, I should say a DVD. There's a DVD on the best enemies money could buy. My interview with Professor Sutton back in 1980, we do carry his book, and the book on Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. Communism has been financed since its inception through the United States. A simple little pamphlet we put together for my newsletters, the Communist-Capitalist Alignment, the Alliance, Communist-Capitalist Alliance. I think it's $3 or $4 plus shipping. You really want to get that, and if you want to get it in large numbers and pass them out, you would get them very economically. You need to get people to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. Why? Because there are powerful spiritual forces that are energizing this whole movement towards the New World Order, the New World Religion, and, of course, the New World Leader. And once you understand that, everything makes sense. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're having our all-day conference on the 28th of October. It's going to be great. We're having speakers come in from all over. If there's any way any of you could come, why, we'd love to have you. And you'll have to call to make a reservation. No, we're serving lunch. It can be from early morning to late evening. So, well, till tomorrow, this is Dr. Stan. May the Lord be with you.